When we have come to the end of Romans, I have tried to think through a series as we move through the holidays. And I thought that the first of these sermons as we think about the holidays is Thanksgiving. And I hope that you did have a blessed Thanksgiving. I hope it was a joyous time that you were able to be together with your family. Cheryl fixed me a coconut cake. A coconut cake. Had to put poles in it to hold it up. And I thoroughly enjoyed one sliver. But it was good. Oh, that, okay. She knows the whole truth. But it was good. And I hope that you had a blessed time with your family today at Thanksgiving and during this season. I thought that maybe we should talk about it because holidays come and go in the world. But our Christian experience ought to be something altogether. Thanksgiving is an element that is not just for the Christian reserved for just a holiday, but Thanksgiving, did you know, is a characteristic of the redeemed heart in Christ. Now, if you missed that, let me say it one more time. That Thanksgiving is a characteristic of the redeemed heart in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is a part of the way we live and a part of our attitude. Psalm 100 says, enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Did you know songs and prayers are the same thing for the Christian? Thanksgiving is a characteristic of heart in prayer. Philippians, you remember, make your prayer, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your petitions and requests made known unto God with thanksgiving. And notice the response, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is a way of life for the Christian. Can a Christian cry and give thanks? Can a Christian know the hurt of this world and yet give thanks to God? Oh yes, sometimes through those tears they can give thanks to God because they know that there is an answer and that these things are only temporary. Thanksgiving, therefore, is a passage that I would like to begin as we contemplate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not only a way of life for the Christian and an attitude of heart for the redeemed, but did you know Thanksgiving is built into the Christian experience, into the church? Thanksgiving has been built in to the life of the church as we know it. For when we come to worship each Lord's Day because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, what is it that we do in worship? What is an element of worship? Thanksgiving. So God has provided for us as Christians in Thanksgiving a way of life. He has built that characteristic into His own worship in His church. And so therefore, for the Christian, we don't just simply celebrate the holiday. Somebody says about the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas as they've been designed. The Christian has no bonding relationship to the holidays. That is, the church is not bound to Thanksgiving Day and what we know is Christmas Day and Easter Day. And we're not bound to holidays. We're not bound to days that man has set for us. I just tell, and Christians say, well, you're going to be a stick in the mud? I said, no, I just use those good old days as a means to share Christ. Because you think about it for just a moment, because those particular holidays, even though the world doesn't fully comprehend or agree with them, isn't an opportunity for us as Christians to celebrate our faith and to share our faith. Oh, yes, on Thanksgiving Day, we can take meals to people's homes and we can share Christ and say, it's Thanksgiving. We come in the name of Christ. We can do the same thing with the holiday of Christmas. And I have just as much fun as the kids do at Christmas. I just think it's fun. I think it's great. And I thank the Lord every day for the opportunity to be able to share Christ in whatever opportunity, especially I get in this culture. Any chance I get that the culture allows me to share my faith in Christ, I'm going to use it for God's glory. But I just want you to know the church is not bound. Why are we not bound to Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter? Well, we're not bound. We're not bound because God has already built into the church all of those elements of Thanksgiving and the celebration of His birth and His death and His burial and His resurrection and His coming. He's built it into His church, and you celebrate it as an integral part of your Christian faith daily and into the experience of the church as you worship on the Lord's Day. It's built into us already, all the time. It doesn't have to be, oh, we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to have... We segregate things so well, don't we? And I love what God has done for His church. He's just given us all those good things all the time. And I like that. I do like that. I found the passage that I think is probably rarely used with regard to these matters of honoring Christ and of Thanksgiving. But when I read this section of the Gospel of Luke in Luke 17, I was amazed. Hear then the words of Jesus in His early ministry, as Luke writes. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11 through 19. This is the Word of God. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And may God add His blessing to the reading of His holy and precious Word of God concerning Thanksgiving and the Christian heart. We ought always to be careful the way we handle the grace of God, the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has blessed us mightily with many things, and Thanksgiving is a time of remembering. It is a time of thinking on God's goodness to you. It's a time of remembering what God has done in your life. But it's good for us to do that all the time, isn't it? To remember. Remember a part of what God said to the children of Israel on Sinai. He gives them the written word. Why? So that they might not forget. Remember how the Lord saved you. Don't forget. We in our life, are we prone to forget? Sometimes we get busy and forget. Sometimes we just forget. So remembering God's goodness with the help of God, His Word, the Holy Spirit, the church, we can think on the Lord and give thanks. Thanksgiving is not only a time of remembering God's goodness to us, but we can think on God's working in our life in the past and think about our future. Thanksgiving is not only providentially what God has done for us in the past, and many look at it that way, but for the Christian, this Thanksgiving that we experience in Christ and in the life of the church is a thanksgiving that remembers the past, and it remembers the present, but also for the Christian, our understanding of thanksgiving before God is what? Our future. And as we come to this table, we come in that heart of thanksgiving, and we reflect on just more than the past. And a lot of people do that at Thanksgiving. Reflect on the past, what God has done, how we've been blessed. But have you ever given thanks for the way God is leading you? For your future. Be thankful. Give thanks to God as you ponder that great truth. And does not even the design of Christ's church establish us in that? This passage, I think, reflects very much the message that we desire to communicate this morning. Jesus, I want you to observe several things in this passage that I think that will highlight what we are talking about here. Jesus is ministering, and I always found it fascinating that Jesus was on the border between Jerusalem and Samaria. Don't you find that funny? I mean, you think about the promises of the going forth of the gospel to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, and where is Jesus ministering? Well, He's just right on the border. he's teetering on the border. He's not willing to just stay completely in Jerusalem. I must needs go through Samaria. And you find it very interesting that the idea in this parable, in this part of Jesus' life, that Jesus is on the border between Jerusalem and Samaria. And as Jesus is reaching out more and more, He comes to a town, and there in this town are 10 lepers. And you know that leprosy is a disease that is very contagious. It is a disease historically in which people have been isolated, and they have been removed from society. In India and Africa and other places, there were leprosy colonies where those who had such diseases and deformities, that's where they lived and spent their life. They were not able to spend it with their family. And so I think that this is somewhat of what's going on here, that these 10 have been brought together because of their common experience with leprosy. For you see that Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. And what does the Scripture say? They stood at a distance. Now, why did they stand at a distance? Because it was the common custom that they would not draw near to other people. And what I love about the picture of this is that Jesus comes to them. They were a people who had been set apart and rejected. They were a people who, for the most part, had little hope of living normal lives, as many would. They had not many that would ever come to them for fear of them because of their illness or their disease. Do you ever see yourself in your sin as maybe a leper? Would you observe perhaps that it might be a picture somewhat of maybe our spiritual condition? And isn't that a joyous thing as we come to Christmas? What is it that we celebrate? Well, at the heart of what we celebrate is that we couldn't go to God because of our leprosy and sin. But what? God, in the form of His Son, came to us. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great message? Just one little thing to remember that I couldn't go to God because I was lost and in my sin and I had no way to reach God. But that God sent His own Son to us to pay the price that we could not pay for our iniquity. He was on His way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance. Holiness and leprosy. Holiness comes to the defiled, of which the world is afraid of. But Jesus comes. And what is the, even at that distance of which they kept their distance because of their leprosy, how is it that they are healed? By the Word. Jesus sees that they are afraid to approach Him, but they cry out. And what do they cry out? Jesus, Master, in a loud voice, have pity on us. There they are. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And I love what Jesus said. And verse 14, it's a very simple little verse, but it's remarkable in the way the Lord comes to us. When He saw them, He said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And they went. They were cleansed. That's what the Bible says. They went. Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. They went. They were cleansed. Pretty remarkable and straightforward, isn't it, of what Christ has done for us. What He did for these 10. Yet there's a hitch to it that I think that is important for us to gather as we come to the table. That was one of them. In the light of receiving this tremendous gift. In verse 15, I just hold it to my heart. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. He was a Samaritan. Do you get the Thanksgiving message? That was one of them who had known the blessings of God and the healing of God. One out of the 10. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, what the God had done for him, he came back praising the Lord. What did he do? He came back not just simply relishing in the fact that he was healed, but in the light of that healing, he remembered the one who spoke the words and who came and who had healed him. He recognized that it was the Lord. And there's a form of worship there is as a result of redemption, and he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, and he gives thanks. He thanks the Lord. He worships God. Worship is important to Him now. Falling at the feet of Jesus is important now. Things that didn't matter before, things matter now in His relationship with the Lord. It's not just His healing. He recognizes Jesus to be the Lord God in whom is all the blessings of life. And he is not willing to receive from the Lord without responding with a grateful heart. And I think that the Lord is pleased about that, don't you think? Don't you think the Lord recognizes that? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Oh, Christian, what is the state of your heart? Have you received goodness from the Lord? Blessings abounding? My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Has the Lord blessed you this Thanksgiving? Don't you know that our Lord has built into your Christian life Thanksgiving as a way of life? He has built also into His church the proper response of worship of the Savior and for His people always to remember the healing that they have received whereby they might fall at the feet of Jesus and they might worship Him and give thanks. And then the Bible, of all things, as Jesus is dealing with a stubborn generation and a legalistic generation among the priests, and He says, what? Jesus, He says, you go tell the priest. And as they went, they were healed. You've got to tell the priest, listen, and this man was a Samaritan, not a Jew, not one of the priests, but a leper. He was not only a leper, despised and rejected by humankind, but he was a Samaritan. And my dear friends, the priest, even themselves, didn't want to have anything to do with a Samaritan. You remember the stories that Jesus told. They have a purpose. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Well, that infuriated those of a religious order because there were no good Samaritans. They had already made a distinction of who was worthy and who was not worthy. My dear friends, as you give thanks, who's worthy of the kingdom and who's not worthy of the kingdom? Isn't it good to know Christ and just simply in the joy of the Lord to come and give thanks and worship Him in the light of the way He's designed the church? Isn't it good to give thanks? And the Lord looks at that and He expects that response of gratitude and of grace. And listen to the words of Jesus in verse 17. Jesus answered, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the rest of them? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? There was only one. And he didn't even have the right blood. He wasn't even the right kind of person. God had mercy on him. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. O Christian, as you come to the Lord's table, would you return to the Lord who has healed you? And will you in a loud voice praise God and fall at His feet and do what? And give thanks. Oh Lord, as we come to Your table and we remember and we reflect goodness in our life. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks. Praise be to God. God, our Father, we thank You that here in Luke's Gospel, there is recorded for us a tremendous encounter between 10 lepers and our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, work in our hearts as Your children. And may those characteristics of thanksgiving and of worship be found in our own hearts as was in the heart of this Samaritan, this foreigner, this one who had leprosy. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your great mercy upon us. And Lord, we will not pass through this table without giving You thanks for the greatness of Your redemption, for the great love of Your Son for us, and for Your great mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, we fall before You. We give You thanks. Thank You for Your mercy upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray.